All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, going to shout out the sponsors here real quick. Sovereign Extract, you can check them out for CBD cartridges, THC, hybrid options. They also have CBD oils and the like. Also, big shout out to USG Canada, putting out great apparel for boxers, MMA fighters, and for fans alike. We've got a big card going at Bellator 245. It's happening on September 11th, and a featherweight bout, a very consequential one between Amanda Bell and Leslie Smith, going to be taking place on that card. And I've got Leslie on the show right now. How's your day going so far, Leslie?
Oh, it's going great. I've been quarantined since this morning when I took a COVID test, and I've been doing interviews for the past little while now, so I'm doing good. How about you?
Oh, I'm doing great, and I appreciate you asking about that. But to that point, I'm kind of wondering just how different this fight week has been looking as compared to some previous ones, because I imagine it's a fair bit outside of the norm.
Yeah, it is pretty outside of the norm. It's rather different. So we're in the hotel room quarantining, which, okay, to be honest, I'm pretty cool with just hanging out in the room and doing nothing. Like, that's kind of my thing anyway, so it doesn't bother me. But I know that other people, that's kind of crazy for them. I know a lot of people don't like to have to just sit around, that they have a lot of energy that they need to get rid of before their fight. And so I know that's crazy for them. And then the protocols and the way that this whole thing is going, I'm really glad that they figured out a way to make it work and a way to make it feel as safe as it does and to just make sure that the show goes on.
Yeah, because I know for certain fighters, they'll sometimes, you know, wander around the hotel or the nearby town that the fight is taking place in. But I'd be kind of similar to you, I think, just fine hunkering down in the room and just have everything go on as it does.
Yeah, I mean, before, I think that I went through some phases where I was like, I want to go see a movie, or I want to go explore this or that, yeah. And now I'm like, I just want to be chill for my fight, and then I'll go do it all afterwards.
And also, just like with the training camp and stuff like that, like, have things been different in that regard? Like, was there certain COVID precautions that kind of underscored that, and were some normative dynamics kind of hindered it?
I have been so lucky with this training camp. At El Nino Training Center in San Francisco, Gilbert Melendez has been coaching us. Jake Shields has been coaching us. Kerry Melendez, I mean, everyone knows who she is, and she's awesome. Shinju Auclair, she is here with me to corner with me. She is a really, really good fighter with Rizin. I'm sure you guys all know who she is, too. And she's been, it's like the most consistent group of women that I've been around since probably high school lunch. With Carrie, with Shinju, Kendra McIntyre, she's another fighter. Stacy Elizabeth, I think, is her last name. I'm kind of the worst at last names. She has been training and super consistent, and so I've been really lucky to have like a super solid team to get to work with. I a little bit was able to go out to Brentwood at the Caesar Gracie Jiu-Jitsu Academy in Brentwood. It's a pretty new academy. It's a really nice academy, and get to work with Caesar out there. And Chelsea Chandler, she fights for Invicta, and her sister Carlene, who's like 19, but she's a freaking tank. It's going to be exciting to get to see her fight pretty soon. But I've been really lucky to have a really solid bunch of people to get to work with, and not only a solid bunch of people, but a bunch of intelligent people who have been safeguarding their own health in order to protect our community of people training.
No, I mean, you articulated that perfectly, and I love that that dynamic is, you know, kind of present in your life right now. But, you know, talking about being able to train with as many, you know, women partners and stuff like that, like, never before have you had that magnitude of high quality sparring partners in your career. Like, how important is that to you? Like, do you look at it beyond the microcosm level of like, oh, I've got a lot of great training partners, and see it as like, I guess, a macro evolution for, you know, women's MMA overall? Or like, how would you characterize all of that?
Oh yeah, no, 100%. There's multiple levels through which to evaluate that. And one of them is my own personal development. And when I used to prefer going with the guys, because I could just go as hard as I can. And for the most part, their egos would not allow them to be like, can you please not go that hard? So I just got to go 100% all the time, which was heck of fun. And I had a blast, but I didn't necessarily develop the more technical aspects of my game because I wasn't being as cerebral about it as I could have been. And so being able to have super technical partners who bring it, and women's bodies move differently than men's bodies do. Women are not just small men. They are different. And so it's been wonderful to get to train with them. And as you said, that it's reflective of the evolution of women in MMA overall. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. It's freaking awesome that I get to have this team of people training in multiple different promotions, all on this international level. That's huge. Like, that's such a big deal. It's not only wonderful to get to train with them and their skills, but it's also super validating to know that I'm training with top women from multiple promotions around the world. It's awesome.
Yeah, and I've just even seen certain posts from Shinju Eau Claire in the past, because I've actually interviewed her a couple times over the years, and it just seems like beyond the level of like you guys appreciating each other as high-level martial artists, it seems like there's like a real tangible sense of, you know, community and like people being, you know, very friendly with each other in the gym. So can you talk about that kind of confluence of like, you know, the personal connectivity with the people, but also refining your skills as martial artists?
Yeah, totally. It's really nice to be able to respect the people that I'm surrounded with. And like you said, Shinju is a huge part of the community, and she's been very essential to my training camp. And, I mean, she's right here with me right now, cornering me, and she's really smart, too. And it's such a nice thing to not have to separate those two things. You know, like there's a lot of people that have MMA skills, and I respect them for that. But you know, they're just not very smart. So it's really nice to be able to have people that I respect both for their physical abilities and their mental abilities, and to have their respect is super validating for me as well. And it feels like it is moving into a new arena as far as being able to really have confidence and take pride in not just what I'm developing, but the community that I get to be a part of. And I've always been really happy to be a part of the women in MMA community. I try to avoid women's MMA as a phrase, even though it's, you know, easy to slip out sometimes, because it's not different from men's MMA. It's all freaking MMA. But it's been nice to be part of a greater community, but it feels really good to be building a solid and to be part of a solid community right here in my own gym with my own training partners.
Yeah, for sure. And kind of a similar situation for me. Like, I wouldn't want to use the term women's MMA as a means of like compartmentalizing it as a different thing, because obviously very much is not. But just to see the growth on that like microcosm kind of level. But you were talking about like surrounding yourself with people who, you know, can stimulate you on a cognitive level. Like, it seems like you've been really focusing on learning as of late, and like doing the Rutgers classes, studying for labor and employer relations. I'm kind of curious like how all of that has been going and when things are looking to wrap up in that regard. Like, when do you expect to complete those classes there? Because I think that sounds really cool.
Oh, thank you so much. That's so cool that you are, that you follow stuff. I feel very special. Yeah, I am enjoying my classes a whole lot. This semester I'm taking a writing class and a corporate governance class and a class on immigration law. And so those are all subjects that I'm very excited about. I have 99 credits right now, but I'm only part-time. So I'm probably going to graduate at the end of the year next year in December of 2021. And then my plan is to go to graduate school and get my master's from Rutgers as well in labor and employment relations. And then I want to go to law school. I want to study labor law. And I guess the short answer is I do not see school wrapping up anytime soon.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that, like not necessarily having like that defined sort of endpoint to it. But I just think it's cool because obviously for a while you've been working on a lot of efforts centric to, you know, Project Spearhead and just unionization in general. And this seems like it'll go even that extra step further in adding to information that you already have in that kind of regard.
Yeah, it's so fascinating. So I have been super lucky throughout all of this process. My first teacher of labor law has been Lucas Middlebrook, the lawyer and friend that I worked with on Project Spearhead. And man, he is a great teacher. And labor law is so fascinating. Employment law is so fascinating because it touches everybody. Like, there's not a single person that some aspect of employment law doesn't relate to their lives. And it's just a fun thing to get to be involved in.
Yeah, and even beyond the scope of MMA, too, like it seems like you were noticing the recent edict from Vince McMahon and WWE by proxy with the whole not wanting to have their talent work with third parties, which would directly kind of encroach on the whole, you know, independent contractor tag that's sort of applied to that. So it seems like, yeah, you just have a natural curiosity for that kind of, you know, human engagement in general.
Yeah. And isn't that fascinating? So one of the things that I've been learning in my classes is about the decline of labor unions, that's not really a surprise to anybody. I think most people who have paid attention know that there's a lot fewer people part of unions at this time. Although, since COVID, the membership in unions has actually gone up, which is pretty cool. And so have the labor actions, a lot more labor actions since COVID started, which I think that's wonderful too. But a lot of what I've been reading is that a lot of labor experts think that the former union structure isn't necessarily ideal for the economy and the workers of America at this point, because so many people, employers, have been exploiting people through the gig economy, and even the people who are not being exploited through the gig economy that are legitimately independent contractors, that they just lack the same social protections that they deserve as workers in America. I mean, that's what keeps this country going, is the workers. And so it's going to be fun to try to look for ways to extend and create new legislation to protect independent contractors and gig workers, because that is the direction that our economy is going in. And it is so fascinating to get to read about all that stuff. And the similarities between MMA fighters and WWE are very strong, super strong. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised it seems like a lot of the MMA structure is based on pro wrestling structure, that they took a lot of pages out of that book in order to form, I mean, they're both, it's combat entertainment, however you look at it. And so it'll be interesting to see the evolution of that. and how those protections can come about, and to see people recognizing their own strengths instead of being dependent on the place where they got that strength from in the first place.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally get where you're coming from, and hopefully that does, you know, turn out to be the case. And I mean, certain promotions seem like they're trying to navigate that a bit better. Like, it seems like Brave CF is trying to figure out some form of unionization and trying to protect the talent. So hopefully that's, you know, a residual thing that the MMA world at large can take note of.
Yeah, totally. And that's the thing too, is that they can be really beneficial. A union isn't necessarily something that a company has to hate. Like, it doesn't have to be this adversarial relationship. A union can be a value-adding association because it can help things. A, if you can keep the labor issues down to a minimum and actually address them and give consumers the confidence that they are supporting something that has positive labor relations, that's going to bring more consumers in. Plus, the other sports like baseball and basketball and football, the union really works with the organization in order to promote the sport. And that's one of the things that we don't get to see in MMA, is the creativity and the, I can't think of another word for it, but the expression of what the fighters understand could help to progress the sport. At this point, mostly fighters they're only promoting themselves as individuals, and through promoting themselves as individuals, that's how they affect the sport. But by having a fighters association, it's going to give them an outlet to actually do good things for the sport through the sport, instead of having to do it through themselves as individuals.
Absolutely, and that's kind of the curious nature of all this, because I think some fighters are maybe hesitant to talk about this kind of stuff while, you know, concurrently competing, because maybe they think it would affect certain, you know, opportunities for them. How important is it for you to concurrently be competing and actively be in these high-consequence kind of fights, but also be waving the flag for your fellow MMA fighter compatriots by proxy?
I love the visual that you're creating with that. It is very important for me, and it would, if I wasn't so adamant about trying to agitate for change for fighters, then I don't believe that my passion for fighting would be anywhere near as strong. In fact, there was a period where I kind of lost my love for the sport, and I had a hard time generating any enthusiasm for it because I was pretty disillusioned about a lot of the aspects of it. But the opportunity to change something and the opportunity to hopefully make things better for my community and future fighters is irresistible, and it is very motivational.
Yo, I love hearing that was able to, you know, renew your vigor for the sport and everything like that, just, you know, helping other people out and whatnot. But I mean, just, it's interesting to see the options you have afforded in Bellator, in the sense of, like, obviously you've been competing as a featherweight, but it seems like also per some past interviews you've done that there's some interest in flyweight as well. So how do you, I guess, plan to go about navigating that? Like, do you have any defined path for, like, when you would like to take a flyweight fight? Do you want to kind of remain in the featherweight ranks for the foreseeable future? Like, how do you want to divvy things up between those weight classes? Or has that perception changed and you maybe want to focus on one division over the other?
Oh, man, I would love to act like I am the sole person guiding my ship through the waters of MMA, but I'm not. I'm totally not. I'm really kind of just taking whatever is offered to me. And at first, I thought that my opportunities in Bellator were going to be at 125, and I was very ready for that. And that is not what I was offered. I was offered this opportunity at 145. So I'm a kind of a take what I can get and run with it kind of fighter and person. So that's where I'm at, and that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, just good that you have the option in the future if something like that were to be offered to you. But I mean, looking at Amanda Bell here and her skill set, I imagine this is an exciting contest for you. Like, she had a pretty emphatic performance in her last outing there, finishing Janae Harding, but also has experience in a myriad of promotions like Invicta FC, and, you know, has been out there with KOTC and Bellator and whatnot, and fought some pretty big names all throughout her career so far. I'm wondering if you have like a certain awareness of your opponent's skill set heading into this, or if more so you kind of focus on your own efforts in training and kind of just prepare yourself for whatever could take place on fight night.
Oh yeah, I'm always definitely working on becoming the best fighter possible, so that no matter who it is that's in front of me, I will be able to have confidence in my skill set. And getting to train with Carrie Melendez, who is, I believe that she is the best striker in all of MMA as far as women go. I think that she is the best striker out there. And I have learned so much from her and developed my game so much from getting to train with her and learn from her. I mean, I spar and she's the first person that I ask a question of. I'm like, what did you think? What did you see? Because she has an analytical eye that that is amazing. And so I have definitely been able to get a lot better as a fighter in general. And in preparing for this fight, Amanda Bell is heavy on the striking, and so I feel like it's really a great opportunity for me. And getting to train with the other fighters on my team, Carrie Melendez, Shinju Auclair, Kendra McIntyre, she's a Muay Thai champion, and Stacy Michelle, getting to train with such accomplished strikers and fighters, and such fast strikers and fighters, technical, high level, and fast. I feel like there's nothing that Amanda is going to be throwing that I'm not going to be able to see and have already been able to know how to deal with.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the kind of sparring partners you have can optimally prepare you for really any situation here. But usually for fighters in their preparations, they have certain, you know, artists and genres that they like to jam to in the gym. Like, I'm kind of wondering, like, what genre preferences you might have when it comes to having something to fire you up for training.
What do you say that question again? What do you mean?
I'm just wondering if there's certain, like, music or, you know, if there's particular genres or artists in that kind of realm that, like, really fire you up when you're training, or if it's kind of inconsequential.
Okay, I thought that is what you meant, but I wasn't completely sure. I like the two playlists that I most... There's three playlists that get put on the most. Carrie Melendez's playlist, Haider Emile, he is another fighter for Bellator out of El Nino Training Center, and Gilbert Melendez, of course. You'll have to interview all of them to find out what they make their playlist out of, because I couldn't really tell you. But it does get me going. When I'm the person in charge of the music, it's usually going to be, well, if there's other people around, then I won't turn on the Grateful Dead. If I'm by myself, it's the Grateful Dead. If there's other people around, then it's going to be some reggae, and it's probably going to be, one of those other three people in this playlist.
Yeah, it was cool to hear you have eclectic tastes there, and always good hearing that someone's a deadhead, for sure. But you've been great with your time, too, Leslie. I'm wondering if there's anything you'd like to add kind of as a parting thought as we're wrapping up here, though.
Not much that I can think of. Just, just kind of the standard. I'm really thankful for my teams over at El Nino Training Center and at Cesar Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, and I'm grateful for all my coaches, Gilbert Melendez and Jake Shields and Cesar Gracie, and I'm grateful for all my training partners. I listed a whole bunch of women over at El Nino Training Center, but I also get to work with Chelsea Chandler and Carlene Chandler, and they have really impressive Jiu-Jitsu, and so I'm just feeling pretty grateful for where I'm at, surrounded by really impressive martial artists.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to hear you're in a good place with all of that. And I think people are going to be really appreciating this fight when it goes down September 11th at Bellator 245. Amanda Bell and Leslie Smith going at it. And yeah, just really appreciate all the time and insights, Leslie. It was great getting to talk to you, and hopefully you enjoy the rest of your night there.
Yeah,